Morning, everyone. We're going to make a wee start to our service today by singing together the paraphrase number 2. The paraphrase number 2, you'll find it on the page 143 of your hymn book, O God of Bethel, by whose hand thy people still are fed, who through this weary pilgrimage has all our fathers led. Our vows, our prayers, we now present before thy throne of grace, God of our fathers, be the God of their succeeding race. The paraphrase number 2 in the page 143 will stand as we sing, and let us really sing it out with all of our hearts. Let us stand as we sing. We'll just look to the Lord in prayer. Let us unite our hearts together in prayer, and let us seek the Lord for His help and blessing with us today in our times of worship. Our gracious God, our loving, eternal Father in heaven, we come to Thee today in and through the worthy and precious and all-powerful and all-prevailing name of Thy Son, the Lord Jesus Christ, the Savior of sinners, the Lamb of God. And Father, we thank Thee today for the perfect, sinless life of Christ. Christ did no sin. He knew no sin. He could do no sin. O God, Thy Word describes Him as the altogether lovely one, the one who is holy, harmless, undefiled, and separate from sinners. Yet, O God, we thank Thee that He came into this world to seek and to save that which was lost. And Father, we thank Thee that He went willingly as a lamb to the slaughter. He went to the cross of Calvary as our mediator, and there He suffered and bled and died. He poured out His life unto death. He made Himself a once for all a sacrifice for sin. And Father, we thank Thee that
in that once-for-all sacrifice for sin, He provided all that was needed, all that was necessary, O God, for us to be saved from our sins, to be right with God, and to be sure of heaven. And Father, we thank Thee today for Thy word that declares He was wounded for our transgressions, He was bruised for our iniquities, and that with His stripes we are healed. And Father, we come to Thee today in no merit of our own, but through the merits of Christ. And Father, we thank Thee that we are accepted in the Beloved. We thank that Christ has died, the just for us, the unjust, that He might bring us to God. And Father, we praise Thee and we thank Thee for the value and the virtue of His blood, that blood that cleanseth us from all sin. We thank Thee for the perfect righteousness of Christ, that He kept the law of God perfectly for us, something we ourselves could never do. And, O God, we thank Thee that Christ has died, He has risen again, He is exalted at Thy right hand. And, Father, we thank that there He prays for us as our great High Priest. And, Father, we thank that one day He's coming again in power and in great glory. And, Father, we thank Thee today as Thy people for all the covenant blessings that we have in Christ. And, Father, we acknowledge that Thou art indeed the God of Bethel. Thou art the God of our fathers. And, O God, we thank Thee that Thou art one that is faithful to Thy people, faithful to Thy church, Thy cause and Thy kingdom. We thank Thee, Lord, that Thou hast said of Thy people that I will never leave Thee nor forsake Thee. Thou hast said, I will build My church and the gates of hell shall not prevail against it. And Father, we thank Thee that in Christ we have grace sufficient for our every need. And O God, we pray that the blessing of God will be our portion here today as we come to present our prayers, our vows, as we worship Thee, O God. Help us to worship Thee in spirit and in truth, O God. May the words of our lips and the thoughts of our hearts be acceptable, Lord, in Thy sight, O God, our strength and our Redeemer. Father, we pray that we might know a gracious sense of the presence of God among us and with us here today. We pray, we realize that it is Thy presence that makes the feast. And Lord, You have said in Thy word that where two or three are gathered together in My name, there am I in the midst. And Father, we pray that each one of us, from the very youngest to the oldest today, will know and hear the speaking voice of God to our hearts. We thank Thee for every believer, every child of God in this meeting today. We pray that Thou would bless Thy people, lead Thy people onward with Thyself, and strengthen every believer in their faith and in their walk with God. Help us to glorify Thee day by day as Your people. Help us to be a witness, Lord, for Thee by our lives, by our words. Help us to die to self, to sin, and to the ways of this world more and more. And help us, Lord, to live unto Christ. And, Lord, to be conformed more and more to the image of Christ. And, Lord, for any in our meeting today who might be cold at heart, Lord, maybe walking afar off from God, Lord, may they know Thy restoring touch in their heart and in their soul today. And Lord, for any with us today going through times of testing and difficulty, Lord, strengthen them by the mighty hand of God, we pray. For others, Lord, maybe needing a word of direction, be Thou their guide and show them and teach them in the way that Thou wilt have them to go. And Lord, for any with us today not saved, who maybe have often heard Your word yet have never came and put their faith and trust in the Lord for salvation, we pray that even today, Lord, that they might turn away from self and sin and every false refuge of man for salvation, and that, Lord, they might turn in faith unto the Lord Jesus and be saved by the grace and power of God. We thank Thee that Thy word says that if we confess our sins, that Thou art faithful and just to forgive us our sins and to cleanse us from all unrighteousness. We pray for every family and every household represented here today. Lord, bless every household, meet the need of every home, unite every family circle in the Lord. And for any with us today who cannot be with us today because of age or sickness or infirmity, Lord, bless them, minister to them by the grace and by the power of God divine, we pray. For others who, Lord, have suffered loss in recent times, may they know the comforting hand of God to be upon them. Fill the vacant chair with the presence of the Lord. Be their strength and be their stay. And Lord, for all who would listen in online today, we pray that likewise thou wilt bless them and minister to them as thou would see their need by thy grace and by thy power, we pray. We thank thee for our Sabbath school. We pray for your blessing upon the ministry of every teacher and in the Bible class as well. Bless every boy and girl and young person. Lead them and guide them in the ways of the Lord. Remember the work amongst our youth and the youth fellowship. Remember the meetings of Bethel Children's Crusade as well. We pray, Lord, that through these different outreaches, we pray that boys and girls and young people not only will hear your word, but be saved by the grace and power of God. Bless the ongoing door-to-door outreach ministry, the telephone ministry. Remember also, Lord, the ladies' fellowship meeting as well. May your hand of blessing be upon these different aspects of thy work. And may they be used, Lord, for thine honor and for thy glory and for the strengthening of thy cause and the forwarding of the gospel, we pray. Again, Lord, we do pray for this town and this community that thy blessing will be upon it. We pray, Lord, that thou wilt, Lord, turn people away from sin and away from the ways of men, the ungodly ways of this world. And may there be that turning unto thy word and unto thy truth. Our Lord, we see thy day being desecrated more and more. And Lord, we pray that people will realize that they are to keep holy the Sabbath day. For thou hast given us this one day of the week to worship thee and to set aside the things of norm. O God, we ask. Again, Lord, we pray for thy blessing upon our missionaries today, that you would bless those that labor here at home and those that labor abroad. May your hand of blessing and of grace be upon them, O God, we ask. Remember again thy people in the land of Ukraine. Grant them thy peace, thy protection, thy comfort, and thy joy. Intervene in that situation. Turn Putin and his army around and put them to flight, O God, we pray. And grant that again there there would be peace and stability in that land. And those who would seek to minister to the needs of the people in that land, may they know help and blessing and grace, we pray. We pray for our own land and nation here, that thou wilt have mercy upon it. And we see, Lord, ungodly laws coming in more and more into our land, contrary to your word and to your ways. And we pray that thou wilt intervene even in the government of our land, that there might be that realization of their need to govern in accordance with the word of God and the truth of God. And there might be that turning back to thee, and that we might see days of revival, reformation, and grace again in our land. We pray, Lord, for our royal family. Have mercy upon them. We pray that the light of thy word and the light of thy truth would shine into that household, O God, we pray, and that they might be made wise, O God, unto salvation, we ask. So, Father, be with us as we further praise thy name, as we read thy word. And Lord, just take control of this meeting today. Bring every thought into captivity to the will of God, to the mind of Christ. And everything in this house today, may Christ be glorified and honored, we pray. And Lord, visit even our gatherings today, O Lord, with thy salvation and with thy reviving grace and with thy reviving power. This we pray and this we ask for Jesus' sake and glory, and giving thee thanks. Amen. I'm going to turn again, please, in our hymn book to the hymn number 110. The hymn number 110, you'll find it in the page 221. O love divine, what hast thou done? The immortal God has died for me. The Father's co-eternal Son bore all my sins upon the tree. The immortal God for me have died. My Lord, my love is crucified. A wonderful hymn reminding us of what God has done for us in Christ, and suffering and bleeding and die for guilty sinners such as us to save us from our sins. 110 on the page 221, standing as we sing.
Yeah.
have your Bible with you this morning, I would ask you to turn, please, to the book of the Psalms, to Psalm 131 for Bible reading. Reading, first of all, from Psalm 131, then turning over to the New Testament book of James, James chapter 4, and we're reading from verse 1 of that chapter, just going down to the end of verse number 10. So if you'd like to mark those two passages, reading, first of all, from Psalm 131, and then also turning over to the book of James in the New Testament, near the end of the New Testament, James chapter 4 and the verse 1. Let us hear God's word as we read it together this morning. Psalm 131, the verse 1. Lord, my heart is not haughty, nor mine eyes lofty. Neither do I exercise myself in great matters, or in things too high for me. Surely I have behaved and quieted myself as a child that is weaned of his mother. My soul is even as a weaned child. Let Israel hope in the Lord from henceforth and forever. And then turning over, please, to the book of James, James chapter 4, and beginning our reading there at the verse 1 of the chapter, James 4, verse 1. From whence come wars and fightings among you? Come ye not hence even of your lusts that war in your members. Ye lust and have not, ye kill and desire to have and cannot obtain. Ye fight in war, yet ye have not, because ye ask not. Ye ask and receive not, because ye ask amiss, that ye may consume it upon your lusts. Ye adulterers and adulteresses, know ye not that the friendship of the world is enmity with God? Whosoever therefore will be a friend of the world is the enemy of God. Do ye think that the Scripture saith, in vain the Spirit that dwelleth in us lusteth to envy? But he giveth more grace. Wherefore he saith, God resisteth the proud, but giveth grace unto the humble. Submit yourselves therefore to God, resist the devil, and he will flee from you. Draw nigh to God, and he will draw nigh to you. Cleanse your hands, ye sinners, and purify your hearts, ye double-minded. Be afflicted and mourn and weep. Let your laughter be turned to mourning and your joy to heaviness. Humble yourselves in the sight of the Lord, and he shall lift you up. Amen. We'll end our reading there at verse 10, and our prayer is that God will bless this public reading of his eternal and infallible word to all our hearts. At this stage of our meeting, I want to welcome all this Lord's Day to God's house. Good to see all who have gathered with us, young and old alike, this morning. We bid you welcome. Prayers the Lord will richly bless you. And if you're visiting with us, we extend to you a very special and warm welcome. Trust that you'll feel at home. Know the Lord's blessing. It's always a joy to visitors to share in our fellowship. And also for those that may be viewing online, we welcome you. We thank you for joining with us today. Our prayer is the Lord will bless you also and meet you at the point of your need and through his word and through his truth today. The announcements for the week are as follows. Do remember, please, the evening prayer meeting tonight in the prayer room at the back there at 6:30. We encourage as many as possible to gather for the time of prayer before the evening gospel service. It'll be at 7. We'll be along to minister God's word. Do pray for that meeting. Plan to join with us and to invite and encourage others in under the sound of God's word to the gospel meeting tonight. Do remember that today, being the first Sunday of the month, is also building fund offering. So do remember that, please. Tomorrow afternoon, Monday, meeting here at the church car park at 2 o'clock for the door-to-door outreach. Do be much in prayer for that, that God would bless the seed that will be sown, the conversations. And if you're able to join with us, we'll be delighted to see you. It's really just from about 2 to about 3:30 on a Monday afternoon. Tuesday evening, 8 o'clock, we're having a special missionary prayer meeting here in the church. And we encourage as many as possible to come along to that missionary prayer meeting. One of our missionaries from Asia will be speaking and giving a report on their work. And there'll also be an offering for that work. They'll be showing also a PowerPoint or a DVD display of that work. And can I just say, because of personal security reasons, we'd ask that no part of this meeting be put up on social media, and also it'll not be broadcast as well online as normally is the case on Sermon Anu, and this is really due to security concerns for the missionary on the field. So if you want to know who it is, you've got to come Tuesday night, so do come along, and we trust that you'll be blessed as you hear of that labor for that missionary in the land of Asia and their labors for the Lord on the mission field. So do remember that, please, on Tuesday night. Following the missionary prayer meeting on Tuesday night, there'll be a short meeting of the session. I've asked the brethren of the session just to remember that also on Tuesday night at 9:30. Friday night, 6:30, the Bethel Children's Meeting. Do remember that in your prayers. Also remember the meetings in Tresna and McGuire's Bridge on Thursday night as well. And then Friday night, 8 o'clock, the Youth Fellowship here in the church. We commend that to all the young people. I trust as many as possible will gather for the time of fellowship around God's Word and bring your friends with you as well. Saturday morning, 11 a.m., is the open-air monthly meeting at the Diamond in Enniskillen. Be much in prayer for that, and Brother Colin and myself. And if you're in the town on Saturday morning, come and join with us for that open-air meeting. Just about half an hour or so on the Diamond there, Saturday at 11 a.m. Next Lord's Day, 10th of April, Sunday School and Bible Class, 11 a.m. Morning worship service, 12 noon, the evening gospel service at 7. Both services preceded by the half hour of prayer. We'll be long to take those meetings. Do please note that the Easter Convention meetings resume this year. On the Friday night, the 15th of April, 8 p.m., will be a missionary youth meeting. The preacher there, the Reverend Ian Harris. And then there'll be no Monday afternoon meeting, but there will be one on Easter Monday night, the 18th of April at 7 p.m. And the preacher will be the Reverend John Armstrong. There'll be various folks singing and different reports as well. So do remember those meetings, pray for them, and do go along and support them over the Easter weekend. To consider Christ's outreach to County Cavan, the next outreach will be on Saturday, the 23rd of April. We'll be much in prayer for that. And if you're able to come and join with us, we'll be delighted. Do let us know regarding that outreach. Do remember also our own missionary Sunday here in the church will be on Sunday, the 24th of April, the final Sunday of the month. And the morning service, the Reverend David Park at 12 noon will be along to speak from the Missionary Council and give an update on various mission works across the world. And then at night, 7 p.m., our brother Mr. Chris Killen will be with us, who works with those involved in drug addiction, and there'll also be an offering to support him in his work, so do remember that, please. Monday night week, that's tomorrow night week, 11th of April, 8 p.m., is the monthly ladies' meeting here in the church. Do remember that, make it known, and be much in prayer for it, and invite and encourage others in under the sound of God's Word in that time of fellowship. And the speaker will be our sister, Mrs. Elaine Power, so do remember that and pray for her as she comes to bring God's Word. The Ukraine offering has now reached £7,103, for which we thank you sincerely in the Lord, and I suppose that offering is still open. If anyone else wishes to add to it, that will be deeply appreciated. One other important announcement. Tuesday night, the 3rd of May at 8 p.m., our session has convened on that occasion a special communicant members meeting of our church. So do take note of that. It's Tuesday night, the 3rd of May at 8 p.m. And really the purpose of this meeting is for communicant members to vote and also to adopt the constitution of our church and denomination. The reason really for this meeting is really to comply with new charity commission laws and regulations in our land, something that applies to all our churches, indeed to all churches throughout the province, so do remember that. There are copies of our church's constitution. Those are available there for every household out on the table in the porch. Do take a copy. There should be one there for every household, and that really lets you know what's involved with the church's constitution. And if anyone has any queries or questions about this, could you contact some members of the session or myself, and we'll be glad to help you in any way. Can I say that meeting on that night is open to all? It's an open meeting, it's a public meeting, but on the night only those who are communicant members are able to vote, so do just bear that in mind. So that's really all by way of necessary announcements. We're turning again in our hymn book to the hymn number 644. We don't take up an offering during the service, but the plates are at the rear. Do remember that just as you leave. 644 in the page 436. Search me, O God, and know my heart today. Try me, O Saviour, know my thoughts, I pray. See if there be some wicked way in me. Cleanse me from every sin and set me free. 644. We'll keep our seats while we sing the opening part of this hymn. Final verse. To that psalm we read earlier, please, to Psalm 131. Psalm 131, and with God's word open before us, let us unite, please, in a brief word of prayer. Father in heaven, as we come now to thy precious word, thy truth, still every heart, O God, before thee. Let the word of the Lord have free course and be blessed to every heart and soul in this meeting, as thou would see our individual need. Bless and strengthen every believer in their walk with God. Help us to press on with thee, to be more like Christ, to live for Christ, to shine for him. And Lord, for any in the gathering today who know not the Lord, have never trusted the Lord, oh, that today, Lord, they might come and taste and see that the Lord is good. Pour out thy Spirit to this end upon preacher and upon congregation alike. We pray for that fresh anointing, that fresh infilling of God the Holy Ghost and with power to preach your word, for we ask it all in Jesus' great name. Amen and amen. Now, the book of the Psalms has often been likened unto a casket of precious jewels. And in Psalm 131, we can say that we have indeed a pearl of great price. Yes, this psalm was written by David.
And although it is a very short psalm, there's just three verses in it, it is really a psalm that takes a lifetime to learn. Why do we say that? Well, this is a psalm that really tells us of the humility of the man after God's own heart. It speaks of one whose will is buried in the will of God. It speaks of one who has yielded to God in their life. Yes, it speaks of one who seeks to heed the very words of Christ himself when he said, "Take my yoke upon you and learn of me, for I am meek and lowly in heart, and ye shall find rest unto your souls." Therefore, we can say that the psalm is most worthy of the consideration of all God's people, because all God's people also are to have a meek and a submissive heart and spirit before the Lord. You remember what the Lord says to his people through his servant Micah of old? He says, "He have showed thee, O man, what is good. And what doth the Lord require of thee but to do justly, and to love mercy, and to walk humbly with thy God?" And my such a spirit in the hearts of God's people is something that brings pleasure to the Lord. It is something that brings delight to the Lord. For in the book of Isaiah, the Lord says, "To this man will I look, even to him that is poor and of a contrite spirit, and trembleth at my word." And by the word of God shows us that God's blessing is upon the meek and the lowly, contrite heart. You think of what the Lord himself says in that famous passage of Scripture known as the Beatitudes in the Gospel of Matthew. He says there, "Blessed are the meek, for they shall inherit the earth." And that being so, it's important then that we look at the psalm before us today and see what we can learn from David's humility before the Lord. Notice first of all here with me the description of David's humility. Look at what he says at the beginning of verse 1 of the psalm. Here he is before the Lord in prayer, and he says, "Lord, my heart is not haughty." That word haughty literally is another word for that which is proud or has pride. And we see here that David's humility is seen in the fact that he had no high opinion of himself. He had no, as it were, pride in himself. He had no, as it were, esteem of his own greatness before the Lord. He thought nothing, as it were, of his own self-righteousness before the Lord. He says here, "The Lord, my heart is not haughty." There was an absence here of self-reliance in the heart and life of David at this time. You think of what David says about himself in another psalm, in Psalm 40. He describes himself there as being poor and needy before the Lord. He knew he was in need, that there was nothing special about himself before the Lord. He does not boast in himself or in his own strength or prowess or in his own wisdom or in his own self-righteousness. No. Before the Lord, he says, "I am poor and needy." He says, "Lord, my heart is not haughty." You see, David was a man who realized his personal need of the Lord Jesus Christ as Savior in his life. He could say, "The Lord is my salvation." His faith was in Christ alone to save him from his sins and to take him to heaven. Again, he could say, "The Lord is the strength of my life." David himself knew that he was weak in and of himself. But David's dependence was upon the Lord and upon the Lord's grace and strength to live the Christian life, to serve the Lord, and to live for his honor and for his glory. And dear people, this morning, can I say this? If we are to know God's favor and blessing, then the Bible shows us that we also must humble our hearts before the Lord. The Bible says, "God resisteth the proud, but giveth grace to the humble." And that really starts with you and I, yes, repenting of our sins. And what is repentance? It's a change of mind, a change of heart regarding our sins, a turning away from our sins a confessing of our sins to God, a forsaking of our sins, and a seeking of the Lord, a trusting in the Lord Jesus Christ alone for our salvation. And that's where we start in humbling ourselves before the Lord God of heaven. Turn with me in your Bible over to Romans chapter number 10. Romans chapter number 10. And here you see how Paul speaks of this very fact in verses 9 and 10 and 13 of this great chapter. Romans chapter 10, verse 9. He says that if thou shalt confess with thy mouth the Lord Jesus, and shalt believe in thine heart that God hath raised him from the dead, thou shalt be saved. For with the heart man believeth unto righteousness, with the mouth confession is made unto salvation. For whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved. And there Paul, he speaks of the sinner confessing his sins before the Lord, acknowledging his need as a lost, guilty sinner before God. And he speaks of faith in the Lord, for he says, with the heart man believeth unto righteousness. Speaks there of a man, a person, a young person, a woman, whoever putting their faith and trust in the Lord Jesus Christ and in a sacrifice alone for salvation. And a result of that faith, they call in faith upon the Lord to save them from their sins. And people, this is where we start as individuals in humbling our hearts and our lives and our souls before the Lord. And friend, in the meeting this morning, let me say this. If you have not already done so, if you have not yet trusted the Lord for salvation, then I would urge you today, urgently, to trust the Lord, repent of your sins, to come by faith to the Lord Jesus Christ. Do not go on another day, another moment longer. For the Bible says, boast not thyself of tomorrow. Thou knowest not what a day may bring forth. The Bible says, today, if you'll hear His voice, harden not your heart. Now is the accepted time. Now is the day of salvation. Oh, if you have never acknowledged your need as a sinner before the Lord, come today to Christ. Confess your sins to Him. Put your faith and trust in Him who died for sinners like you and I upon the cross, who rose again victorious, triumphant the third day. The Bible speaks to you and I about the Lord Jesus, and the Bible says He is able to save to the uttermost all that come unto God by Him, seeing He ever liveth to make intercession for them. That word uttermost literally means forevermore, for eternity. Oh, friend, come to Christ today. Confess your sins to Him. Repent of your sins before God. Put your faith and trust in Christ. Trust in the blood of Christ, in the sacrifice of Christ. That is the only sacrifice that God will accept on the behalf of sinners for their salvation. It's the sacrifice of Jesus Christ and none other. Come to Christ today and trust in Him and rest as in His atoning blood for salvation. And the Lord, praise God, will save you, forgive your sins, set you in the way to heaven and save you. Glory to God forevermore. He'll save you for time and all of eternity. Well, this is where we start, dear people, men and women, young people, boys and girls, in humbling our hearts before the Lord. Have you confessed your need as a sinner? Have you trusted the Lord today to be your Savior? And then once we are saved daily, yes, as God's people, we must look to the Lord. Look to the Lord in prayer for grace to live the Christian life, realizing that in and of ourselves we are nothing. That we can do nothing. The psalmist says to God's people, he says, trust in Him at all times, ye people. Pour out your heart before Him. God is a refuge for us. How we must depend upon the Lord for help and strength and grace in our Christian life. To live for His honor, to live for His glory. You'll see here that in the psalm, David's humility is seen in the fact that he did not despise others. Notice what he says there further on down, verse 1 of the psalm. He says, nor are mine eyes lofty. My David's life was marked by kindness. It was marked by gentleness to others. And you see that in those occasions whenever he spared the life of King Saul. Remember, Saul was his enemy. Saul was out to take his very life, and there was opportunities came David's way to take the very life of Saul. But David said no, he would not lift up his hand against the Lord's anointed, and he spared Saul. He was kind and gentle and gracious to him. Think also of how David dealt with Mephibosheth, the grandson of Saul and the son of Jonathan. We're told that David inquired of the house of Saul and said he would show kindness unto his house, unto Mephibosheth, even for the sake of Jonathan. His life was marked by humility, by gentleness, by kindness. And believer in Christ, can I say, that's the example we also are to follow as God's people. A humble heart, yes, means dealing kindly and graciously with others in our life day by day as God's people. The Bible says, be ye kind one to another, tender-hearted, forgiving one another, even as God for Christ's sake hath forgiven you, as God has dealt with us graciously and kindly as God's people in forgiving our sins. We too are to deal graciously and kindly with others in life day by day. And people, that was the very testimony of Christ himself while he was here on earth. The Bible speaks of Christ and says he went about doing good, doing deeds of kindness, helping those in need. Turn with me over to Luke's Gospel, chapter number 4. And look at what you read here about Christ and his ministry, his words. Luke chapter 4, verse number 22. It says, and all bear him witness and wondered, notice it, at the gracious words which proceeded out of his mouth. Notice the words of Christ were gracious words. That's the example we are to follow as God's people. That was the mark of David's humility here. His words were gracious. He dealt graciously and kindly with others. We see also from the psalm that David's humility here is seen in his submission, his yieldedness to God's will for his own life. Look at what he says in the final part of verse 1 of Psalm 131. He says, neither do I exercise myself in great matters or in things too high for me. And there David is really testifying how his will was yielded to God's will and God's providence for his life. And child of God, that is how it must be with you and I. If we are to walk humbly with God, we must yield to the will of God for our lives as God's people. We must be like the hymn writer who said, take my life and let it be, and let my will be molded and fashioned after the will of God. Turn over to Romans chapter number 12. Romans chapter number 12. And look at what Paul says here to you and I as believers about the will of God. Romans chapter 12 and verse number 2. It says, and be not conformed to this world, but be ye transformed by the renewing of your mind, that ye may prove what is that good and acceptable and perfect will of God. Notice there how God's will is described, believer. It's good. It's for our good. It's acceptable. It's the perfect will of God. If you and I are to walk humbly with God here on earth, and as Christians, we must yield to the will of God in our lives. In every circumstance of life, we need to be like Christ. Remember Christ praying in the Garden of Gethsemane. And he prayed, nevertheless, not as I will, but as thou wilt. Christ was perfectly yielded to the Father's will. And that's what it must be for you and I if we are to walk humbly with God. You know, sometimes maybe as God's people, we get those words of Christ the other way around. And maybe we pray and we say to God, God, not your will, but my will be done. But my, as God's people, we are to yield to the will of God, and we're to say, Lord, not our will, but thy will be done. And that's how it was with David in this psalm. This was the mark of David who said, Lord, my heart is not haughty, nor mine eyes lofty. Neither do I exercise myself in great matters or in things too high for me.
He was yielded, submitted to the will of God, the plan and the purpose of God for his life. We see here, yes, the description of David's humility. Notice, secondly, from the psalm, notice the effect of David's humility. Look at what he says in verse 2 of the psalm. He says there, "Surely I have behaved and quieted myself as a child that is weaned of his mother. My soul is even as a weaned child." And there he makes mention of a weaned child, and that really speaks of a child that is contented, that is at rest, that is at peace. And David here is telling us that a humble heart in his life, it led for him as a believer to contentment, to rest in his life, to peace in his life as a believer, as a child of God. And David, he testifies of this many, many times in the Scriptures in the Old Testament. You think of what he says to us in Psalm 23, verse 1 and 2. "The Lord is my shepherd, I shall not want. He maketh me to lie down in green pastures. He leadeth me beside the still water." That speaks of rest, peace, speaks of contentment in the Lord. Again, in another psalm, he could say, "The Lord is my rock." He could say, "God is my exceeding joy." He was contented in the Lord. He was resting in the Lord. He was at peace with the Lord. And then think of his testimony coming near the end of his earthly days in the book of 2 Samuel 23 and verse 5, he says these words about the Lord: "Yet have he made with me an everlasting covenant, ordered in all things and sure." He was resting, contented in the Lord. This was the effect of him walking humbly with God. There was rest, there was peace, there was contentment in his heart and soul as a believer. And child of God, the Bible says to you and I that godliness with contentment is great gain. God's people, their lives is to be marked by contentment, and we're told it's great gain. It's a great prize. It's a great treasure. It's a great jewel for the Christian to possess. It is not something that comes naturally to the Christian. It's something the Christian must learn. It's something the believer must work at in their life as a Christian. You remember the words of Paul, what experiences and blessings Paul had, yet he spoke to the church at Philippi and he said this: "I have learned in whatsoever state I am therewith to be content." He learned. This didn't come automatically to him. No, he learned in the school of life as a believer to rest more and more upon the Lord. He learned to be content. And as believers in Christ, we too are to learn to be contented. What's the mark of this age today? It's discontentment all around us in the world. If you were to sum up our world today, by and large, in one word, you'd sum it up in the word discontentment. It's the spirit of the age all around us day by day. Well, the Bible says to you and I as Christians, we're not to be conformed to the world. We're not to be like the world. We're to be different. And as Christians, we are to be contented in the Lord, and this comes by us being yielded to God's ways and will for our lives. Turn with me over, please, to Hebrews chapter 13. Hebrews chapter 13. And look at what the Lord says to you and I there through his word. Hebrews chapter 13, verse number 5. He says, "Let your conversation," that really speaks of our life, not just our words, but all that concerns us in life, "let your conversation be without covetousness." Notice it, "and be content with such things as ye have. For he hath said, I will never leave thee nor forsake." And here the exhortation is to be content. Why? Because we have the Lord. We have the Lord's great promise: "I will never leave thee nor forsake thee." As believers, we should be contented whatever our lot in life is, for having the Lord's presence, we have all that we need as Christians for life's journey. You know, whenever we are contented in the Lord, our life or testimony will bring glory to the Lord. The Bible says, "Whatsoever you do, do all to the glory of God." We do not glorify the Lord by a discontented spirit or by murmuring or complaining against God and the things of God. No. But rather, it's through a thankful, contented spirit that as Christians, you and I glorify the Lord. On a certain gravestone of a woman in England, it says that she died for the want of things. And beside her, there's another gravestone, and it says he died trying to bring them to her. And sadly, the life of both was marked by discontentment here in earth. Well, people, that's not the testimony we want to leave behind on earth as God's people. It's a testimony we want to avoid. But rather being contented with the Lord and the Lord's will and plan and purpose for our lives is something that brings honor and glory to the Lord before others and before the world day by day. Also, we can say further that being contented in the Lord not only glorifies the Lord, not only leads to rest and peace in our hearts and minds as God's people, but it also leads to steadfastness in our faith, in our Christian service and in our warfare and in our work for God. You turn with me back to Psalm 108 and look at what the psalmist says here, just a few pages back to Psalm 108. Look at how he begins this psalm, Psalm 108. He says, "O God, my heart is fixed." He was fixed upon the Lord. He was contented in the Lord. And look at what he says then as a result of that. Down at the very end of the psalm, verse 12 and 13, he says, "Give us help from trouble, for vain is the help of man." He wasn't dependent on man or self, no. Then he says, "True God, we shall do valiantly, for he it is that shall tread down our enemies." And likewise, when we too are fixed upon the Lord, contented in the Lord, dependent upon the Lord, then as Christians also we will be valiant, valiant for God, for His truth, for His cause, for His kingdom in our world and in our generation around us. Yes, we see the description of David's humility, the effect of it. Notice finally this morning from the psalm, notice the witness here of David's humility. Look at what he says in the final verse of the psalm. He says there, "Let Israel hope in the Lord from thenceforth and forever." As a result of David's humility before the Lord, he in turn was able here to direct and to point others to the Lord. He says there, "Let Israel hope in the Lord from henceforth and forever." Here you see that he speaks of a witness that is divine, for he says, "Hope in the Lord." He directs people here to the Lord, and the Lord is infinite. He is eternal. He is unchangeable. He is almighty. He is all-knowing. And as the Lord was David's hope, as he was Israel's hope, so he is the hope of all of us who are saved by the grace of God. Believer, this means that you too have in the Lord, you have one who is almighty to help you in life. The Bible says that with God all things are possible. Christian, there is no situation in your life too hard for the Lord. William Carey, the missionary to India, said, "One with God is a majority." Also in verse 3 here, David makes witness of a common hope, for he says, "Let Israel hope in the Lord." Israel there speaks of God's people, and the hope of the Lord there is the privilege, not just of David, no. Not just of an exclusive few, no. The hope of the Lord here is the privilege of all God's believing people and children, whoever they are, wherever they are to be found. The Bible says, "What nation is there so great who have God so nigh unto them as the Lord our God is in all things that we call upon Him for?" And that speaks of the Lord being near His people, all His people. Child of God, can I say the Lord's grace and power is available for you to depend upon even now, today, this week, whatever your circumstance is, whatever your situation is. Turn with me over to 2 Corinthians chapter 9. 2 Corinthians chapter number 9. And look with me, please, at verse number 8. What a promise here, believer, to mark and to encourage your soul upon in your times of need. Be it today, be it tomorrow, be it further on down this week, whatever comes your way. It says, "And God is able to make all grace abound toward you, that you always having all sufficiency in all things may abound unto to every good work." Because your hope is in the Lord today, believer, you have grace sufficient for every need, for every care, every problem, every burden in life, every sphere of Christian service. Whenever Robert Morrison went as a missionary to China, the captain of the ship that he was traveling upon mocked him and said, "So you think, sir, you're going to make an impression upon China?" Robert Morrison replied, "No, sir, but I believe God will." Morrison was depending upon the Lord for help and grace and the work of God. Believer, you too can depend upon the Lord to make an impression for God in your workplace, in your home, in your family, in the community where you live, in God's work that you're involved in our country, in our land, and in our nation. Then we can say further here from Psalm 131 that David's witness is of a present hope, yes, and also a perpetual hope. For look at what he says again in verse 3 of Psalm 131. He says, "Let Israel hope in the Lord." That's present. And then he says this, "From thenceforth and forever." Israel, yes, had hope for time, for their present needs, but not only for their present needs, but for future needs. Yea, even for eternity itself. And likewise, this is, Christian, this is your hope also today as you sit in this meeting. Believer, you have a hope for time. Not only that, you have a hope for eternity in the Lord. You remember what Moses said about the Lord in Psalm 90. He says, "Lord, thou hast been our dwelling place in all generations." Speaking there of the hope of the Lord to his people here in time. Then think also of what he said in Deuteronomy to Israel. He said these words, "The eternal God is thy refuge, and underneath are the everlasting arms." Not only a hope in time, but a hope for all of eternity. You see, God does not cast off his people. The devil would say, yes, God casts off his people. The world would say, yes, the Lord casts off his people, but not God, not the Word of God. And he is the eternal hope of his people, not only for time, but for all of eternity. Believer, the Lord says to you and I this morning, he says, "My grace is sufficient for thee." The reservoir of his grace can never be exhausted. It can never run dry. You think of what the hymn writer says, "Strength for today, bright hope for tomorrow, blessings all mine, with 10,000 beside." Yes, David's humble spirit, it meant him knowing the blessing of the Lord. Hence he could say to others, "Let Israel hope in the Lord from thenceforth and even forever." Brethren and sisters in Christ, let us be those who walk humbly with God. We'll know his peace in the storms of life. We'll know that contented spirit. We'll know what it is to rest in the Lord. And by our life and by our testimony, we will encourage others also in our home, in our family, in our workplaces, and in the community where we live to hope in the Lord, not only for time, but for all of eternity. We're going to close our meeting this morning by singing together the hymn number 490, 490, and the page 373. "Take my life and let it be consecrated, Lord, to thee. Take my moments and my days. Let them flow in ceaseless praise." We're going to sing the first, the fifth, and the sixth verse. The verse 1 and then the last two verses of this great hymn. 490 standing to sing. Verse 1, verses 5 and 6 standing as we sing. Our Father and our God, we thank Thee for Thy presence with us here today. Bless Thy word to our hearts. Help us as Your people to walk humbly with Thee. May our hearts and our wills be yielded to Thee, to Thy perfect, good and acceptable will, O God, for our lives. Help us in every circumstance and situation of life to say, Lord, not our will, but Thy will be done. Help us, Lord, to be contented, Lord, with Thee, for godliness with contentment is great gain. And by our life and by our testimony, O God, may we shine brightly for Thee in every circumstance and situation of life. May others too be pointed to the Lord, the hope for time and all of eternity. Answer prayer for any in our gathering today not saved, even today. May they come and put their faith and trust in Christ and bow the knee, repent of their sin and be converted. Be saved for time and for eternity. Take us to our homes and safety. Give us traveling mercies. Bless us throughout this thy day. Return us again in thy will this evening hour. And visit our gatherings today, Lord, with thy salvation. We pray in Jesus' name. Amen. Amen.